I think one of the big issues that surround any kind of plan is the whole issue of the impairment clause. And nobody exactly knows what that means. It hasn't been tested in the courts yet.
And this, just for our listeners, this is where the Illinois Constitution says that pension benefits are a contractual obligation. They shall not be diminished.
Exactly right. So what we have tried to do, propose here, are some ways in which the cost of the pension system, which is very important to reduce, some ways by which that cost can be reduced without impairing those benefits. That's one of the goals here, to put some ideas on the table. We talk about how you can reduce costs by doing these lump sum trade-ins, in a sense, which is something that the private sector has done quite a bit, where there's surely you're not just unilaterally reducing benefits, which is the big problem when you have a constitutional guarantee, but offering something else in return to people, which they value, but at the same time, the cost of that is much less than what the reduced benefit would be.
So from an employee's perspective, why would your lump sum payment be preferable to staying in the traditional pension plan?
One thing we have to think about is sort of what are people concerned about? People who are members of the pension system are very concerned about the fact that all their pension assets, all their retirement benefits, are right now within SURS for university employees. And there are a lot of political uncertainty about that. So one of the things they would like to do is to see if they can diversify a little bit away from that so that they reduce that sort of future risk initiated.
And so you're saying it's a good deal for the pension system itself, for SURS, and it's a good deal for the employees.
That is exactly why we are saying that this is a way of trying to do it where both parties, the members as well as the system, both benefits from this.
Your report also discusses or suggests ending the tax exemption for retirement income. And I assume that's not just for state pensioners, but that would apply to anyone who gets retirement income in Illinois. That seems like it would be politically difficult to achieve.
Well, it might be politically difficult. What we're trying to point out is the fact that this is a kind of a loophole in our tax system, that we are willing to tax people who are earning income right now, and we tax them, whereas this is just another kind of income. There's no difference between, from an income point of view, these are both incomes coming into people. And we tax one kind of income, but not another kind of income. So consider, for example, a 70-year-old person who is working hard to meet ends meet, and we're willing to tax that income, whereas you might have a 62-year-old retiree, and you're not going to tax that. What we are pointing out here is that there's an unfairness in this. And this is a loophole which really disproportionate burden is being placed on the younger people.
One of the other things your report says is that you expect that if universities do have to take on some of the pension costs, that it could result in tuition increases, or likely would result in tuition increases. And we've seen the university presidents, I think it was just last week, signed a letter to the state legislators saying that they are willing to take on and to continue.
Sure. And I think what we say is not that universities should not. We actually say universities should take on some of the cost. I think that's the universities need to have a skin in the game because otherwise you're not really being responsible in terms of what is the true cost of hiring somebody. Universities should take on part of it. What we say is that if you're going to transfer the entire cost to the universities, that is going to have an impact. We need to be aware of that because, you know, we don't expect that the general revenue appropriations are going to go up for universities. They're probably going to go down. The universities will take on these costs. So university revenue source is the tuition. So it is going to have an effect. We don't say that the universities should not accept any of the normal cost.
And when you say that if universities take on these costs, they should have more control over the benefits, and what does that look like? What should they be able to negotiate different sets of benefits, create new tiers for new employees in the future?
One would be that, you know, what we're concerned about, of course, is the fact that if you transfer all the costs to the universities, but the right to change the plan still remain with legislators, now you have the opposite problem. The legislators could change and improve and have no consequence of the cost. So what we're trying to point out is that The best way would be both parties being partly responsible.
Ovijit Ghosh teaches marketing at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champain. From 2001 to 2007, he was dean of the university's College of Business. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.